Welcome to Sports Talk with Tonsoni, the Indiana Baseball Edition. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni, and along with Chris Feeney, Josh Bennett, Cassidy Palmer, and Carl James, we will be bringing you information on Indiana baseball. Hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni, and welcome to a special edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball on Sports Talk with Tonsoni. College baseball is known for its weekend series. The best pitcher on each team is anointed as the Friday night starter. In Bloomington for the years 2012, 2013, 2014, Indiana fans were comforted knowing that every weekend the Hoosiers were going to trot out an incredible Friday night starter. Like clockwork, Joey Donato towed the rubber for the Indiana Hoosiers on Friday nights, and tonight he steps up to the mic for a discussion of Indiana baseball and his great Indiana career. Joey, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
We're really excited about having you, and the first question is, what was it like to play baseball at Indiana?
It was, I mean, I can't think of just one word to describe it. It was the ultimate experience. I mean, athletic-wise, academically, just the culture in general. I mean, it was, I can't imagine going to any other school and having that type of experience that I had. I mean, it was, I mean, especially, you know, I grew up in San Diego my whole life, went out to go to Indiana to play baseball, and, you know, I originally committed, a lot of people come up to me, and I mean, even still now, people are like, man, why'd you go all the way out there to Indiana when you're from San Diego? There's a lot of great colleges in California. And, you know, it's hard for people to understand from California how great Indiana University is.
And I like to hear that. I'm a lot older than you, Joey, 1989 graduate. You talked about culture and the university. What couple of things really made your experience as a student and as an athlete so great that you have such great memories of your time there?
Yeah. So I'll just touch on the academic part. So, I mean, I majored in management through SPIA. It was awesome. We had great academic advisors. John Sayer was there while I was there for the majority of the time, and, you know, we helped out with tutors and all that kind of stuff, basically anything we needed in order to succeed in the classroom. Athletically, I mean, it was awesome. You know, we went from playing at Sunbauer Field, having, you know, maybe 100, we'd be lucky if we had 100 fans in the stands my freshman year and sophomore year. And then, you know, as the program grew, you know, we performed better and all that, went to a World Series, but, you know, the fans came to show their support, and that was the coolest thing to see, you know, because, you know, personally, I was there in the very beginning, when we were at Sunbauer, and then we finished at Kauffman. So, you know, to see that transition over time, that was an awesome thing to experience.
You mentioned you're from San Diego, and then you come to Bloomington. The weather had to be quite different. Why did you choose Indiana, and then was there a time, a period of adapting to a different climate and a different place so far away from home?
Yeah, so the reason I chose Indiana was, well, first of all, when I was younger, the first college football game, the first college basketball game that I ever went to was were Michigan State games. My dad went to Michigan State. So that was kind of what I thought of. That's what I thought college should be, like that kind of atmosphere. I was a Big Ten fan. I liked the campuses, all that, going for the academics. So, you know, when choosing my school out of high school, you know, Indiana stood out definitely. I mean, you know, being part of the Big Ten was going to be great. Academically and athletically, it was going to allow me to succeed. But, you know, the main reason was, you know, obviously the opportunity that I had to play on the baseball team, that was, you know, a major consideration that I had to, you know, think about. But then also, you know, that's kind of what I pictured college should be like, just because it was that kind of school was what I pictured in my mind what college should be like.
That's awesome. We're glad you made that choice. You mentioned the difference between Sunbauer and Bart Kauffman Field. We had the luxury of talking to Bart Kauffman, interview him a few months ago, and about his impact. And from a fan standpoint, it seems like that's been a huge impact on the baseball program. But can you share with our listeners a little bit about the differences of playing at Sembauer and then making that transition your last 2 years to Bart Kauffman Field, and how that helped you maybe, and how that helped the team?
Yeah, so originally when we were at Sembauer Field, we'd actually have to park down at the basketball arena because that's where our locker room was. We'd change there, and then we'd all have to drive or carpool all the way up Fee Lane and, you know, park our cars at the field. Then we'd practice. When we're done, you know, we'd drive all the way back down to the locker room and at Assembly Hall and change there, and our day was done. The field conditions weren't that great. We had a batting cage, but it wasn't, you know, spectacular or anything. I mean, it's hard to imagine, you know, obviously you've seen Sembauer Field. They have that huge lip between the outfield and the infield dirt. So, you know, the condition of the field wasn't ideal, but obviously we made it work. And then transitioning from that to Bart Kauffman, I mean, we would drive past that field when it was under construction, and you could see the progress that they're making on this field. And every single week you were like, man, this place is going to be sweet. And then they add something else. I'm like, man, I can't believe that they're doing this. And then it finally is there. And, you know, being able to, like, I remember our first practice, our first game on that field, going to the locker room and all that. And it wasn't even set up completely. And it was like the coolest thing in the world. And I think having that type of facility, not only does it help with recruiting, obviously, because you have to keep up with other schools that you're competing with, but it really does help with that culture, because you feel like you're a Division I athlete. You don't feel like you're playing on a high school field. You feel like you're playing on a major D1 field. So with that, you know, intensity is higher. The games, when you're playing those weekend series, the stands are packed, and they're not just sitting on metal bleachers. They're sitting in stadium style bleachers. And you know, during the regional league, they put those bleachers out in the outfield too. So, you know, it was a huge change, and it was a huge change, a great change for the better. And it was awesome to have that, be part of that, and be able to play on that field.
I think it was a combination of winning baseball and the new park or the new field, and the fans just have shown up tremendously since 2013. Our family lives 2 hours away, and we have season tickets because the stadium, it's such a nice place to watch baseball, and obviously we love Indiana baseball. And you mentioned the importance of fans. Those last 2 years, 13 and 14, that you played, you're playing in front of a lot more and probably a lot more active fans than at Sembauer.
Oh yeah, definitely. it was a lot more interactive. You know, the fans, they're, you know, they feel like they're part of the game when you're at a stadium like that. When you're sitting in a high school style kind of bleacher setup, you know, obviously the intensity isn't going to be there. It kind of just feels like a normal high school game, not as many fans. But when you, from a fan's perspective, what I'd imagine is, you know, you're in that stadium atmosphere. Everyone's locked in on the game, and obviously, you know, when we were at Sembauer, we were playing really well too, so we had that support there. You know, we had more fans come out, but it was awesome to see the support from all the fans coming out and enjoying the games. And, you know, I'm guessing that most of the time it was maybe some people's first time even going to a baseball game, and to have that be their first experience of what baseball is, I'd assume it'd be hard to top that unless you're going to a Major League Baseball game or, you know, another major, you know, D1 program.
We're talking with Joey Donato. He finished his career as IU's all-time leader in wins with 37, strikeouts 297, and innings pitched 369 and a third, and was a Friday night starter, as we mentioned in the opening. Joey, what's it take to be a Friday night starter?
Honestly, I was a Friday night starter, but I can honestly say this, we had about four guys on that pitching staff that could have been the Friday night guy. You know, we had obviously myself, we had Kyle Hart. We had so many guys, Christian Morris, that and obviously Aaron Sleggers, that could have been in that Friday night role. But, you know, what all of us did as a group, as a pitching staff, or as a team in general, I don't want to take anything away from the position players, but it was just a lot of hard work from everybody. And it was holding each other accountable at practice, in the weight room, in the classroom. So, you know, it's not something where it's just, you know, given to you, obviously. It's something that you have to really work hard for. And that's really what I took out of it. Again, any one of those guys could have been the Friday night starter. Some of them were at some points. But overall, all of us put in a ton of hard work, sweat. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much it.
What routines leading up to a start did you have, or maybe even the staff had? And then what did you do Saturday and Sunday after your Friday night starts? Were there anything that you did just to keep the mojo going?
Yeah, so leading up to a start, my routine was, I mean, it was pretty simple. I'd throw, so I'd pitch on Friday, then I would do a light, I'd throw lightly the next day, then bump it up a little bit more on Sunday. Then Monday, I'd have a bullpen, just a shorter bullpen, not as many pitches. Then Wednesday, I'd throw another bullpen, a little bit longer, just to get, you know, a little bit more game feel. And then Thursday, I'd take it a little bit light, maybe do like a flat ground, kind of just whatever I felt like I needed to work on, I would work on it a little bit that day, and then it'd be game time on Friday. But we would lift 2 to 3 times per week. Obviously, we'd do conditioning every single day. Saturday and Sunday after my start, I'd do my run in the morning, work out, and then get my throwing in. And then I'd just be, you know, in the dugout, just supporting the guys and watching the game, and it was a lot of fun to watch.
What's it like on a Friday night, knowing you're going up against the other team's best? Is pressure pressure can be for an athlete good, and it could also be bad. How did you look at that for your Friday night starts?
You know, it's kind of funny because I wouldn't look at the other team's starter, because what I knew was our lineup was going to put up at least 6 runs every single game with Schwarber, Travis, DeMuth, all those guys, Basil, Donley. So I knew our lineup was going to get us 6 runs. And if I just didn't give up, if I gave up 5, you know, I'd be happy. But obviously I'd try to limit it to the minimum. But that's kind of, I mean, it makes pitching so much easier when you know your lineup and your position players are going to have your back if you make a mistake. And that lineup, in 2013, 14, pretty much all the years, you know, they stepped it up. They scored a lot of runs for the pitchers so that we could go out there and kind of relax a little bit.
From a fan standpoint, this question comes for me is, we see pitching coaches calling pitches out to the catchers with a series of numbers or touches or whatever else like that. Do you meet with the coaches preseason or pre-weekend series and talk about what happens? And then, I don't want you to – well, how do you feel about the coaches calling pitches, or did you ever want to shake anybody off at a time? How did that happen? How does that play out?
Yeah, so we as a team, whether we're on the road or at home, we'd have a meeting, like a series meeting, basically going over the lineup and all that. So we have a good idea of how we want to approach that other team's lineup. And then the game started. I mean, I had Schwarber was my catcher pretty much every single year, so he and I got on the same page. There wasn't a whole lot of shaking off. I know Skip and the pitching coaches, you know, they'd let us kind of control the game. If they did want some input, you know, we did have signs from the dugout to the catcher, so if there was something that they saw or something that they wanted to make sure that we were going to throw, they would call it. But the thing was, is you want to, the big thing that they preach, whether it was, you know, Ty Neal or Higgy, the two pitching coaches that were there when I was there, you know, their big thing was throw each pitch with conviction. So if Schwarber's throwing down a sign and, you know, you were thinking something else, don't just agree with him to agree. Just, you know, you have to throw that pitch that you think is the correct pitch. Because if you throw something that you're second guessing yourself on, it's going to get smoked. So, you know, when the coaches did call those pitches, and it was very rare where they would do that, they always said that you could shake off and they'd have no problem with that as long as you had a reason why.
I like that. That makes a lot of sense. Any mound visits from Schwarber? How was he like when he come out to talk to you? Did you just say yes because he was so big and monstrous, or did you have a little say so?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't really remember too many mound visits that Schwarber and I had, but for the most part, they're very laid back. It's not typically too serious. It's more of like if there is a mound visit, it'd be going over the situation like, hey, you know, there's a guy on second base, no outs, you have a righty up, be careful with this guy because we have a lefty on deck that you can attack and hopefully get a ground ball double play or something. So it'd be more of that kind of conversation. But honestly, I don't remember too many mound visits that we had or what we talked about, but that's generally how it would go.
2013, Indiana makes it to the College World Series. Your memories about that trip to Omaha?
There are so many. I mean, I remember taking off from the Bloomington airport. We had a charter jet, just our team, flying into Omaha. And, you know, we got there, we had the opening ceremonies. First of all, we stayed in one of the nicest hotels that I've ever seen, right across the street from the ballpark. But, you know, we had the opening ceremonies, walking through that tunnel, seeing all the fans there, you know, watching the scoreboard with the highlight reels and all that. But, you know, it's kind of funny because you want to embrace all of that and you want to remember everything because that's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of experience. And I do remember a lot of it, but honestly, there was so much going on that, you know, I wish I remembered a lot more than I actually do. Even in the game that I pitched, I mean, I remember the first batter. I remember the pitch that he got in between third and second. And then a couple plays sprinkled here and there during that game. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you hear about pitchers being, you know, kind of tunnel vision. They don't really think about much except for what's going on there. And then, you know, because of that, you don't really remember too much. You just remember, you know, what pitch you're making right here and now.
And that opening game was a 2-0 victory over Louisville, Indiana's first game in the College World Series. And you talked about knowing that the lineup gave you some comfort. I remember I was there in Omaha, and you had a right fielder who had quite a cannon who threw out a runner at home too. So you had some players behind you defensively that could help in that 2013 season too. And that was a little bit of a momentum shift in a close game.
Oh, yeah. I talk about plays being sprinkled in, and that was the one that I remember. Will Nolden, when he made that perfect throw to home plate, I remember I was backing up the throw. So I was right behind Schwarber, and I was looking at the guy rounding third. I don't remember who it was, but, you know, he was closing the gap between third and home, and I was looking at the ball that Nolden threw, and I was like, man, this thing's going to get here way too early. Sure enough, Schwarber caught it on a line drive, didn't even bounce, and he was out by 5 feet. I mean, to have that, first of all, the arms that we had in the outfield were tremendous, along with the speed. I mean, it's everything you want as a pitcher out there, especially with a big ballpark, how, you know, TD Ameritrade plays. There's a lot of ground to cover out there, so, you know, we had a very good outfield to cover that ground.
You mentioned TD Ameritrade. Do you give any thought to the fact that we had such a good offense and a powerful offense that the way that park plays, if we were playing in a different park, the outcome might have been different of that 2013 College World Series?
I actually remember when Sam Travis hit the ball off the yellow part of the wall. It would have been a home run anywhere else in the country except that field right then and there. And that one would have been a game changer. And, you know, we had a great lineup, and I think that we had a lineup that could compete with any single team in the nation. And it just, you know, sometimes it just doesn't happen. and we ran into some really great pitching. Matt Boyd with Oregon State, and when we played Mississippi State, they had some good pitchers too. And they threw, we had a lot of lefties in our lineup. A lot of our lefties were some of our best hitters. So, you know, that was one of the things. That was kind of the scouting report, I guess. They we got a lot of lefties thrown at us, and not, they weren't just average lefties. They were really, really good lefties. So it kind of halted our offense a little bit.
And baseball is a game, too, where you could have the a good team or two teams that are equal, and the way the ball bounces, you know, like you said, Travis home run just came up a little short in a 1-0 game against Oregon State. Those are the little things, and that's what I think makes baseball so exciting, is that it's not just like a lot of sports, the physical nature of a team can be a favorite over someone else and just wear someone down. There's a lot of things that happen in baseball. You were part of a time period at Indiana, 2012 Big Ten tourney runners-up. Didn't qualify for the tournament, but there was a crazy ending in that game against our rivals, Purdue. The next year, you win the Super Regionals, get to go to Omaha. Then the next year, we host, and unfortunately got beat in the regional in a crazy ending. But all of those years saw winning records and really the start to Indiana baseball going on a solid run. How does that feel to be a part of that and get Indiana baseball on a map that most Big Ten programs have not been on?
I mean, it's great. It's a great feeling. You know, it doesn't just start with, you know, the performance on the field necessarily. Obviously, we have to perform on the field in order to get to those regionals, super regionals, College World Series, and even host a regional. But it's about building the culture of the program. And I think we had a lot of great guys on the team that helped build that culture the right way and create a competitive, but also a team culture. You know, the guys on the team, we were all so close, and we had no problem getting on each other when someone messes up the practice, and no one will take things personally. It's just having the right, we had the right guys at the right time to do all of that. And I think the culture is right where it needs to be.
Joey, do you think that, you've mentioned culture several times. I'm a high school basketball coach. Sometimes it's hard to coach. Sometimes it has to evolve naturally. You know, you had Casey Smith with the videos. I remember we can still go back on YouTube and see some of the videos of guys in the bullpen during practice. And it seemed like, I guess my question is this, culture, there needs to be a culture of hard work on the field during games and in practice, but there also needs to be a culture of togetherness and having fun. Could you explain, yep, do you agree with that? And was that a big part of Indiana baseball during your tenure?
Yeah, 100% agree with that. The biggest thing that I took out of it was, you know, my freshman year, we had a ton of talent on the team. But I think the one thing that we kind of struggled with was we had leaders on the team. Drew Leninger was, you know, our team captain. He was a great captain. And then obviously he had to leave that next year. So I think, the following year, I think the main thing that we wanted to do is we wanted to make sure that everyone was involved. So we wanted to make sure that freshmen weren't excluded from anything. They were, you know, we wanted to create that team culture so that no one felt like an outcast. And I think that's the biggest thing, is when you feel comfortable around your team, you're going to play better, you're going to work harder. Everything's just going to be better when you have everyone in there together and when you're all actually friends. So I think the biggest thing was, you know, it was me and like Will Nolden, Casey Smith, all these upperclassmen, Brian Corey, is pretty much everybody. We wanted to make sure everyone was included, especially the freshmen. They're coming in, you know, obviously their freshman year. They might be a little nervous, not really know what to expect. Maybe a little bit intimidated. I don't know. But the main thing was we wanted to make sure that everyone was included. Everyone felt comfortable. And I think that's what led to a lot of success. And I think the turning point of that was in 2013, our team got to go to the Dominican Republic. And when we were there for a week, everyone's staying in the same hotel, all hanging out together. And I think that was really the turning point of you know, the culture inside the locker room, everyone being together because we had to hang out with each other there, you know? So the biggest thing was getting everyone involved and not having one single person feel left out.
It seems from the fan side, us up in the bleachers and from our spot at iubase.com, this year it's the third base rail up at the top. There were great teammates, very close, and that's that culture you're talking about. Who was the most helpful teammate to you, maybe early or throughout your career? Who was kind of the funniest prankster on the team? Or is that confidential?
The funniest prankster. No, not confidential. I think, the best teammate, I'd have to say Drew Leninger. He was there my freshman year. I played against him in high school. He went to Poway with Alex Dickerson, Dylan Dooney. But Drew was the ultimate captain. He was kind of the person that I think all the other captains later on tried to be like. Just because of the way he approached the game and everything. I mean, he would go out of his way to help the younger guys, to help me, to help all the younger pitchers. He was a guy that you'd look to, and if you had a question, he'd help you out with it. He was a guy that you'd look at, and, you know, if you want to know what to do or how to do things the right way, he was a guy that everyone would look to for that. But in terms of, like, a prankster, I mean, we had a lot of guys on the team that were pranksters, but I think the ringleader was probably Brian Cordy. He was always joking around, keeping it loose in the locker room, but it kind of, you know, because of that, everyone would kind of get involved with everything. So there were a lot of guys on the team. We kept it loose, but we also kept it serious when we had to.
How often are you in contact with your teammates from 2013, 2014?
Yeah, I mean, I got married in 2015.
Congrats.
I should know this. 2015. Yeah, and it was awesome because we actually had, at that wedding, I'm pretty sure I had maybe 25 guys from the team come from all over the country. So it wasn't like one of those weddings where, I mean, it was in California. Obviously the majority of the guys on the team were from the Midwest. So it was awesome to have all those guys there, fly out, take time out of their day or their week or their schedule, wherever they are. And, you know, come out and, you know, have fun at the wedding and all that. So, and Kyle Hart was my best man. I got to see him. But baseball is tough. I mean, after I was gone, obviously you don't see those guys as much. I ended up going back to Arizona during my off season, when I was playing with the Phillies, and there were actually a lot of guys from the team that were out there. Will Nolden, Casey Smith. Those are the first two guys. And then some other guys ended, you know, Aaron Seggers obviously was out there, but, we still keep in touch, not as much as how it was in college, obviously, because we're all kind of doing our own things now. But it's one of those things where, you know, you have lifetime friends, you know?
Absolutely. We're talking with Joey Donato, former Indiana Friday night starter, all-around great guy, as we've been talking. We got just a few more questions for you, and we'll let you go. We thank you for your time. Coach Smith obviously recruited you, and you played for 4 years and had some great success. What are your feelings towards Coach Smith?
I think he was exactly what that team needed as a head coach. I think that he was a hard coach. Excuse me. His expectations were very, very high. And I think that's why our team was so successful. Obviously, as a head coach, you have to be hard on players. That's how every single college coach is. You know, you have to be hard on your players. You have to, I mean, he's putting his life in the hands of 18 to 21 year olds, you know, mm-hmm. You have to make sure that they're online. But I think that he was exactly what we needed as a head coach. And I think that's a lot of the success. Obviously it comes from us on the field. And I know that if you ask Skip that question, you know, who would you give, you know, the prize to, you'd say the players, but honestly, you know, it's obviously the players on the field, but it comes from the coaching. It comes from the culture that he presents, and he's the one that's driving the work ethic and driving, pretty much everything, getting everyone on par. But I think he did a great job, and I still keep in touch with him. When I was out in Arizona the past two off seasons, I'd go. He allowed me to work out at Arizona State, use their facilities to throw and train and all that. So it was awesome.
And your Indiana, since you've left, has made 3 out of 4 NCAA regionals as at-large berths without winning the conference. Your opinion on the state of Indiana baseball now 4 years after you've been in Bloomington?
I think that it's awesome to see how great IU is doing after that run in 2013 and, 14 missing regional. It's like they didn't miss a beat. We had guys on that 2015 team that were part of that 2013 team, teaching those guys what it takes. Like Kyle Hart and Ryan Halstead, they showed those younger guys, I wasn't there, but I'm assuming that they showed those younger guys what it takes to, be on that kind of caliber of, or that level. And they adopted it and they carried it throughout. So, it's exciting to see. And I'm glad that, I can going on Twitter and, get the updates from the games and see, win after win after win. And know that culture and everything started. I'm not going to say started when we were there, but I think after 2013, things kind of changed a little bit.
And you and your teammates were a huge part of that and are to be thanked from us fans. Because Indiana baseball is now starting to be an event where people are putting it on their calendars to go see and to be a part of. And, that transition from Sembauer to Bart Kauffman Field and the winning that was done in 13 and 14 at the new facility was a big part of that. We thank you personally. Your future plans, I know you've been in the minor leagues. What's ahead for Joey Donato?
Yeah, so, right now I'm back in San Diego. I got released from the Phillies at the end of May. So right now I'm kind of seeing what baseball is offering. But a lot of people they'll ask me like, hey, how are you doing? How are you feeling? All this kind of stuff. And I always tell them like, first of all, I don't want people to feel bad that I got released. Baseball has given me a lot, way more than I could have ever imagined. Obviously I had a good career. I got to meet a lot of good people. I got to travel the United States. I think there's only 8 states that I haven't been to. I've been to a few different countries as well, the Dominican. I got to play on Team USA, so I was in Taiwan and Japan for that. So, I worked hard. I put 100% of my effort into baseball. The results showed, and I don't have any regrets about what I did or pretty much anything. Baseball offered a lot, and it changed my life. And I think that I wouldn't take anything back.
Joey Donato, it's been a pleasure and an honor to talk to you about your career in Indiana baseball. We wish you nothing but the best. And this will do it for this special edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Please find all future podcasts on Sports Talk with Tonsoni, which can be found on your favorite podcast source, as well as under the Talking Hoosier Baseball tab on iubase.com. Please follow iubase.com on Twitter. Handles at iubase17. This podcast, Talking Hoosier Baseball, is also on Twitter at CU at the Bart. And visit iubase.com to see other articles and other posts from our team. For Joey Donato, I'm Brian Tonsoni. Go Hoosiers. And even